because you pay no attention to who they are. Anybody ever starts talking to you flattering like that, put your hand on your wallet. Take two steps back. Be careful. Now, sometimes people really do appreciate you and say nice things to you. When I was 17 years old, I was selling Christmas cards door to door. Started when I was 9. Riding my little bicycle all over Taylor County down in Florida, taking cards to people, showing it to them. They'd make out an order. I'd send my money in to get their cards, bring the cards to them, and they'd pay me. Worked great for 7 years. In the 8th year, I got stiffed by one fellow. Ordered imprinted cards, his name on it. I'm not going to tell you what his name was. But in front of his name was Reverend. And he was a Baptist to boot. There is no rascal like a religious rascal. And if you haven't met any of them yet, thank God. You probably will. These guys were trying to lay a trap for Jesus. They wanted him to step into with his words and turn somebody against him. They didn't care who. They just wanted somebody to get on his case. Tell me then, what is your opinion? We all like to give our opinions, don't we? Another trap. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? If he said, no, no, then Rome was going to get up tight with him and send the soldiers in to take care of him. And if he said, yes, the common people were going to say, hey, Jesus, what's going on? Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? By the way, don't paint this as Jesus, the Son of God, having this supernatural insight. He's just a smart fellow at this point. Anybody with a brain could see what was going on here. Pharisees and Herodians together, flattering words, tricky question. Now, Jesus is the Son of God, yes. And he has got supernatural insight, yes. But here, he's just one smart cookie using what God gave all of us. Something between the ears to deal with life. Show me the coin. The one you use for paying the tax. I don't have any coins, but I got a dollar bill here. They brought him a denarius. You know what the denarius was? It was Caesar's coin. Caesar made it. It had his picture on it. Not George Washington, Caesar. Show me the coin. Whose portrait is this? Whose inscription? Well, it's Caesar's, obviously, Jesus. You can see that. Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. You see, the Jews weren't supposed to mess with Caesar's stuff. They weren't supposed to have the coin. That was going against their laws and regulations. When it came time to pay taxes, they had to go to a money changer and buy with Jewish money Roman money so they could go pay the tax. But carrying around the denarius in their pocket showed they'd already submitted to Caesar. They were already bowing the knee. They weren't yet saying, hail Caesar, you're God too. But they were headed there. And Jesus calls them on it. Stop right there, fellas. Think about what you're doing. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. Now, what do you owe Caesar? Well, taxes. There's a joy in paying taxes, right? I wondered if some of you had seen that sermon title, wondered what had happened to me in the last few weeks. Lose my brain completely. All right, come on. Give me the benefit of the doubt. What's the joy of taxes? Somebody give me a... You don't have to believe it even, but come up with a reason.
You actually made money.
If you didn't make anything, you're not going to be taxed on anything. If you don't have anything, you're not going to be taxed. A fella came into a pastor's office and said, "Pastor, look, this tithing stuff is just getting out of hand. When I was making $100 a month, it wasn't any trouble to give the 10 to the Lord. But I'm making $1,000 a month now. That's $100. And the pastor says, "Okay, no problem. Let's pray." He said, "Lord, please put this man back at his original state of poverty." If you're paying taxes, you've got something from which to pay them with. And that's... Anybody want to give up what they got? What's another joy in paying taxes? I'm not sure how I'm going to work that one in. Although it does give us a lot of sick comedy, black comedy to watch them. Yeah, okay. I didn't have that one on my list, I must admit.
We're living up to our responsibility.
Living up to our responsibility. Romans 13, 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authority. They say pay taxes? We ought to pay them. Part of what Jesus is teaching us in this encounter with the Pharisees and Herodians is that we are citizens of Caesar's kingdom. And if we're going to be a good citizen of God's kingdom, we're going to be a good citizen of Caesar's kingdom. Submit to the authorities. How many of you obey the laws of the land of the United States of America? Thank you. There's somebody honest back there. Some of them. Stop signs? Speed limits? No parking? Maybe it's good we have a government. Well, if you look around our world right now at those places that have other kinds of government, we're free to move to one of those. I'm not going. The joy of taxes is we honor our responsibility. Not just to the state, which is important, but to our God himself. Paul goes on in Romans 13 and says, there's no power established, but God set it up. Now, Paul's not sitting in his ivory tower here. Nero was Caesar when Paul wrote those words. Go back to, some of you remember your history from 100 years ago when you were in school? Nero was the guy who killed all the Christians, who tried to stamp out Christianity. He took Christians and put them on crosses and lit them on fire to light his party. That Nero was Caesar when Paul said, submit yourselves to the ruling authorities as established by God. Paul's always been a better Christian than I am. I'd have had a hard time with that one. I still do have a hard time with that one. Jesus says, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and render to God what is God's. And somehow those two tie together. You can't honor one without honoring the other. I'm like you. I marvel at the way our government spends its money. And I have two kids who work for the government. Well, sort of a bittersweet thing there. Thank you for paying my daughter's salaries. But I don't want to do without the things government provides. How many of you would like to have your own water system where you go to the creek and draw it and clean it up and cart it and so forth. No. Roads, fire and police, schools. Government provides things we need and want. And taxes do that. Now, I got to agree, I don't like the way they spend all my tax money. But you and I have been around long enough. Suppose this group was in charge. And we were going to decide how to spend the taxes and what was going to get funded and what wasn't. How many fist fights are we going to have before we get out of here? Yeah. Our responsibility is to pay taxes, to vote informed. I heard a lady once say, it's no problem to vote. You go in there and you pull the lever that says Democrat. She happened to be a Democrat, obviously. I'd rather she didn't vote if that's the way she's voting. And I vote Democrat a lot. Informed voting is a responsibility. And being informed is a responsibility. Taxes, voting, praying for them. Do you pray for your legislatures? Do you pray for those turkeys when they're spending our money crazily? Or do we just mumble under our breath at them? That's not a prayer. But maybe if we did more praying and less griping, maybe things would change. We'll never find out until we try it. Render to Caesar his due, his honor, his taxes. Support him. Give him credit when he does right. But render to God what is God's. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these other things you can get. The writer of 1 Chronicles puts it in, till my people humble themselves and bow and seek my face, I will not heal their land. Many of us feel like America has lost a few steps in its standing in the world and its morality and its godliness in recent years. I happen to be one of those. But you know where the fault lies? It's not with the turkeys and the legislator. And it's not with the pagans who vote them in. It's with the Christians who do not utilize our power of prayer and restoration to help God create what he wants in this nation and in our world. Yeah, we're limited, I know. No, we're not. Our God's not limited. He can do anything with you and me that we will allow him to. Jesus said, render to Caesar. Do the things to be a good citizen. Create in your own little neck of the woods a place where government is honored, prayed for, corrected, fixed. In your own neck of the woods with your God, give him ultimate allegiance. And in order to do that, you got to take care of Caesar and the government. And I'm one who tends to fuss and fume about government more than pray. I need to change my ways. Maybe my government would be better if I were better. Maybe our government would be better if we were better. Better at praying, at living, at allowing God to work through us. David read for us a while ago from Exodus 33. Lord, lead these people, Moses prays. But you've not let me know where you will send me and who you will send with me. We always want to know more than God tells us, don't we? He only gives us enough light for the next step. He only gives us enough manna for the day. He only gives us enough direction for the next decision, the next action. Meaning, I want to see the end of the road out there so I know what's coming. I want to be God. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Old Testament rest is God being right there with you. It's symbolized by the prophets who said, you can come in and go out from your place without worry or fear. But you can only do that if you've already given your life into the hands of the Lord God Almighty. Because we don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what next is going to happen to us that we don't want to happen to us. We don't know the trouble, the difficulty, or the possibilities. All we know is God is with us. And for those of us who can really give ourselves into His keeping, that's enough. So we need a growing faith, a little more dedication of who we are and what we have. Maybe as the offering plate is passed, we need to think of it more of the joy of tithing, just like the joy of taxing and what we get from it and what we enable God to do. After all, can you not look around your world, your life, your circle, and see the hand of God providing and doing things you didn't even think were in the game at all? Such is the kind of God we have. Jesus said, "Why do you try to trick me?" That was to the Herodians and Pharisees. Might He say that to some of us church people at times? As we try to make excuses about not doing this or not doing that or not being a party or not helping or whatever. Trying to trick Jesus? There is no rascal like a religious rascal. And the only one I can do anything about is the one who lives in my suit and walks in my shoes. Father, we bow before You and Your grace. And we sure are glad You're filled with grace. For we know that our living so often falls short of our believing. We know that so often our attitudes are unworthy of redeemed disciples of Jesus. But we know that You love us and that the possibilities ahead of us are stupendous. So help us, Lord, to put our hand in Yours, to surrender our lives, our wherewithal, our hopes, our dreams, our families, our everything into Your keeping and Your using. And then let us rejoice at what You do. Thank You for being the God who came down and recreated us and gave us a new possibility. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.